we are cutting down the Appalachian Mountains, these historic landscapes where Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett roamed, the oldest ecosystem in our country, a place where our culture is rooted, and we're doing it with these giant machines that cost hundreds of millions of dollars and that practically dispense with the need for human labor, which indeed is the point. When my father was fighting strip mining, which was much smaller back then in the 1960s, I recall a conversation that I had with him when I was 14 years old, where he said to me, they're not just destroying the environment, they're permanently impoverishing these communities because there's no way that they can ever reestablish an economy on these barren moonscapes that are left behind. And he said, they're doing it so they can break the unions. And that's exactly what happened. If it was up to this industry, they'd get rid of every single miner and their employee and do the whole thing with machines that are built out of state. And that's not something that's good for West Virginia.
The only thing I can tell you is that the health and longevity, life expectancy in this country is very good compared to the rest of the world. It's very good compared to the parts of the world that don't have electricity or energy. Life expectancy in Angola is about 39 years. They're not too concerned about global warming in 2020, 2050, or 2100. The health and well-being of people greatly depends on the quality of life that they're able to have. That quality of life is greatly dependent on electricity, affordable electricity. Affordable electricity in this world is greatly dependent on coal. Again, when you criticize what we do as an industry, Massey or the coal industry, you're criticizing the people that are teaching your Sunday schools, that are teaching, coaching your little league, the people that are in the communities of West Virginia. And to characterize those people as evil and wanting to destroy their own environment makes no sense at all. We're in a situation where we talk about health. If you want to talk about health, go to India and look at health. You know, watch the Slumdog Millionaire if you want to see what India looks like without having adequate coal supply to give electricity to 420 million people. So we shouldn't come in here and talk about humanitarian behavior or health when 1.6 billion people of the world live without electricity and live on a dollar a day, and tens of millions of people die of hunger and starvation and preventable disease, while we're trying to talk about whether we've got one more part per million in a water discharge off of a surface mine. It's so out of touch with reality that it's hard to have a conversation about it.
The true price of coal, if we lived in a true capitalist system, which I believe in, we should have free market capitalism in this country, in a true free market system, the price of a product would reflect all of its costs. A producer like Mr. Blankenship would have to pay all of the costs of his product before he bring in order to get it to market, instead of forcing you and I and my children to pay through bad health by externalizing those costs. Okay. And all of us, you know, learned, we were supposed to have learned the lesson in kindergarten that we're supposed to clean up after ourselves. And this industry has not learned that lesson yet.
And it's easy to spout out rhetoric, but the truth of the matter is that if were it not for coal, we wouldn't have the freedom to sit up here and discuss it.
If we don't switch to renewables right now, and if this state doesn't think about how to start switching, we're going to be buying energy, we're going to be buying green technology from the Chinese for the next 100 years, the same way that we've been buying oil from the Saudis for the last 100.
The government is subsidizing all these windmills, but make sure you know what a windmill is. It's a 400-foot high structure. You know, you will probably kill, if you build enough windmills to displace coal in this country, you might as well say goodbye to the Indiana bats and all the birds, because you're going to kill millions of birds a year. It's you know, you're going to employ a lot of Indians and a lot of Chinese, but you're not going to employ a lot of Americans. I don't understand. If this is such a great thing, let Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Gore go out there in the Mojave Desert and get past all the environmentalists out there that are trying to stop his solar panels because of a turtle or something, and build it. And if it makes a lot of money, I can assure you that all of us will begin to invest in it. Let's see the solar panels become profitable. Let's see the windmills become profitable on their own. And I'm sure the investment will come without someone having to put all the people in Central Appalachia out of work. You know, it again, if it were true, it would be happening without somebody being in here trying to put thousands and thousands of coal miners out of work.
The Catholic Church has said that the 28 bishops of Appalachia, that mountaintop removal is sin because of what it does to the community. The Episcopalian bishops of Appalachia have said mountaintop removal is sin because of the impacts on human beings and the community. And I don't see how you can possibly argue that you're building communities through an industry that is destroying the entire environment.
When 10 million, 15, 17 million people in the United States are out of work, that's the real sin, is when you damage your neighbor based on theories of global warming, based on untruths, based on personal gain, like being invested in solar panels in the Mojave Desert, which is now being stopped by the enviros. That's the true sin. The people who are genuinely trying to create jobs, genuinely trying to produce energy in this country so we don't have to fund the terrorists overseas and they come over and blow our airplanes up and so forth, those are the people that are doing the right thing. The people who are out there standing in the way of that are the ones that are wrong. The endangered species is the American worker. And the problem you've got, it's a hoax because it clearly, anyone that says that they know what the temperature of the Earth is going to be in 2020 or 2030 needs to be put in an asylum because they don't. And the second thing about it is anybody thinks that you're going to change that this thing they've been saying in Washington, they're going to keep the temperature down by 2 degrees, that they have some sort of a thermostat where they're going to control the temperature of the Earth, they clearly don't. And the Asians and the Africans behind them are going to use fossil fuels to generate the electricity they need to eat and to have drinkable water and to do the things that we've been doing in this country. This whole thing is designed to transfer wealth from the U.S. to other countries. Most of the countries in the United Nations that vote on this don't even have a climatologist or a meteorologist that knows anything about it. What they know is they're going to get more money from the United States, and that's what it's really about.
On the issue of global warming, I'll say the same reply. You know, a lot of this is kind of flat earth stuff. I don't agree with you that there is any doubt about the consensus. There is a consensus. 98% of the research climatologists in the world say that global warming is real, that it's caused by us, that it's happening now, that its impact is going to be catastrophic. There are 2% who disagree with that. Some of them, though not all, are paid for by Exxon and the carbon cronies. Some of them have other reasons for saying that, and maybe they believe it. But I have a choice of believing the 98% or the 2%. If you believe my 98% and we go ahead and try to reduce our carbon, we've gotten rid of a dirty fuel, we've made ourselves energy independent, we've improved our national security, we've improved prosperity and quality of life and health for American citizens. If we believe Mr. Blankenship and his 2% and they're wrong, the whole of civilization is destroyed. So, you know, it just makes sense to me to go with the 98%.
Unfortunately, Mr. Kennedy only knows about poverty from what he read in the books. He hasn't experienced it firsthand. It's a very unpleasant experience. Most of us in this room think that we've experienced a touch of it or witnessed a touch of it, but we haven't. Again, millions of people starve to death in the world. If you go to India, 420 million people live without electricity, and they don't even have the dignity and privacy of a place to go to the bathroom. It's a very sad situation in the world, and it's getting to be a sad situation in this country. You know, if you look at 6.5 billion tons of coal used elsewhere in the world to raise their quality of life, it's not going to be possible to change the temperature of the earth by limiting industry in this country and taking people's jobs away.
This is the worst environmental crime that's ever happened in our history. It's a crime not against just the environment, but against democracy, the capture of these agencies that are no longer functioning as part of our democracy, the destruction of these communities. It is a crime, it's a sin, it's a moral obligation, and we all have every obligation to use everything in our power to try to stop this from continuing.
We brought two people together to express their points of view. I don't think there is a need for an altar call to recognize conversions tonight, but there's been candor, and I hope that it has broadened your understanding about the issues that we have discussed. Share with me in thanking Don Blankenship and Bobby Kennedy and being here on the stage tonight. Thank you all and good evening.